may I speak to you in the name and the love of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, in the Carl Reiner-directed movie, The Jerk, Steve Martin plays the title role, as I can tell some of you are aware. And in the course of the film, Steve Martin's character becomes very wealthy through an invention called the OptiGrab, which is a glasses contraption. This leads him to purchase a mansion, to start living a rather lavish lifestyle, and to accumulate many, many possessions. However, his invention has an unfortunate side effect, and he is faced with a class action lawsuit that he loses. He has to pay out $10 million. Now, a side note, that there are over 9 million complainants in this lawsuit, so they each get just a little over a dollar. But nonetheless, he is out $10 million. So both he and his wife are dissatisfied with their newly diminished financial situation, and they get into an argument, and this leads Steve Martin to storm out, but not before going on a bit of a rant, in which he says, "Well, I'm going to go then, and I don't need any of this. I don't need this stuff. I don't need anything except this ashtray. And that's it. And that is the only thing I need. And this paddle game. The ashtray and the paddle game, and that's all I need. And this remote control. The ashtray, the paddle game, and the remote control, and that is all I need. And these matches. The ashtray, and these matches, and the paddle game, and the remote control, and this lamp. The ashtray, the paddle game, the remote control, these matches, and this lamp. And that is all I need. I don't need one other thing. Not one. Oh, I need this chair, the paddle game, the matches, the lamp, the remote control, and this chair." And it goes on a little bit longer, but I think you get the point. And he's carrying all of these objects with him as he's, you know, hobbling along, and he looks ridiculous. And I think in this moment, he is sort of an icon or an image for the ways in which we are weighed down by our attachments. Because like the jerk carrying all this stuff around, you know, slowing him down, weighing him down, we are so often weighed down by our attachments in life. They really hinder us from the life we could be living, even as we feel like we need them to live. So what might we be clinging to? In the gospel, Jesus encounters somebody who is attached or clinging to his wealth and possessions. This man approaches Jesus. He kneels before him. He really seems to be making an honest attempt to seek God. And he wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus says to him, "You know the commandments," and he lists several of them. And this man says, "Well, I've done this. I've done this since my youth. So surely this is enough." But as we just heard, Jesus says no. He says, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Now, in hearing this, this man who started out eagerly seeking Jesus turns away. He leaves shocked, or the Greek there could also be translated appalled. Why would Jesus make it so difficult for this well-intentioned man to follow him, to be a disciple? Shouldn't he welcome a wealthy disciple who is also pious and observes the commandments? It can, of course, be very useful for spiritual teachers to be bankrolled. Well, Jesus offers some commentary here. He says how hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, on hearing these words, his disciples are astounded. They're perplexed. They say to one another, "Well, then who can be saved?" And this astonishment is seems to be due to the fact that in the religion and in the Hebrew scriptures, there's an attitude that wealth and material goods, prosperity, are a sign of God's favor. And yet Jesus really seems to be contradicting this here. Why would he do this? Well, perhaps it's because wealth and power or possessions tend to give rise to a sense of being self-sufficient, of being without any need for God or for others, a false sense of security. And so Jesus is really challenging the idea that prosperity and observance of the commandments together sort of equal a ticket to the kingdom of God, as some of these disciples might have thought. Now, it's worth noting that even as Jesus is challenging an idea that we find in the Hebrew scriptures and in the Jewish religion, there is also a very well-represented attitude that Jesus is in keeping with, both in the scriptures and in the tradition more broadly, that wealth can compromise spiritual health. So Jesus isn't totally departing from his religion here. So, am I here to tell you that you should all renounce all your wealth and possessions? No, not exactly. If I did, and if you listened to me, I would not have a job. And not to put too fine a point on it, but next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday. So I think we can see the divine sense of humor here. But I do believe there are better reasons, good reasons, for me not to presume that this gospel text means that all of us should give away everything. Because Jesus did not actually call everybody to do this. There is the well-known story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector of small stature, who has to climb a tree so he can see Jesus, because Jesus is surrounded by a crowd, and Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, I'm going to eat with you." So they're eating together, and Zacchaeus is so moved by this experience that he says to Jesus, unprompted, "Teacher, I will give half of what I own to the poor." And Jesus is satisfied with this offer to give away half, not all. And in addition to this, we read throughout the Gospels that Jesus relies on the generosity of others. He has some benefactors, even. So it seems that when it comes to wealth, when it comes to possessions, Jesus did not have one-size-fits-all or uniform standards for everybody. He had consistent principles, certainly, but he applied them differently to different people. And perhaps what Jesus is really seeing and responding to is not simply this man's wealth and possessions, but his attachment to them. Now, in some ways, this may sound like a watering down or a softening of Jesus' words, but heard this way and really taken to heart, they remain just as challenging, if not more so. Because even if we are all not called to take a vow of poverty, we are not really let off the hook. We are all, unless there are some saints among us, and there very well may be, but most of us, overwhelmingly, are attached to something. And in the case, much like the jerk, rather, Steve Martin's character, we're attached to a lot of things. And often it is wealth and possessions, but also comfort, popularity, the respect and admiration of others, a sense of control, privilege that we have. We cling to these things because we look to them consciously or unconsciously, to tell us that we are okay. And when we do this, we tend to forget God. We tend to lose sight of our dependence on God. C.S. Lewis described this as trying to rest in a shadowy happiness, as if it could last forever. But of course, this is not real happiness or joy, and none of these things we cling to ultimately lasts forever. They're not ultimately dependable. Only God is. And Jesus reminds us that it is not enough to follow the rules and in doing so be a good Christian. He calls us to more. And this is not because God is harsh or exacting or has excessively demanding requirements of us. Rather, it's because God wills to give us nothing less than God. And we can't receive this gift of the divine life when our hands are full of other things. Jesus describes this as the hundredfold that will be received by those who surrender their comfort and security to him. So again, what are we clinging to? Well, whatever these things might be, perhaps Jesus is calling us to learn to let go, to surrender. And of course, this is not a one-time decision, and I trust that most of us have heard messages like this before. But we need to hear them again and again, because this is a commitment that requires renewal daily, hourly, even moment to moment sometimes, offering ourselves again and again to God. When Jesus told this man to give up his possessions, we hear in the gospel that he looked at him and loved him. He looks at us with those same eyes of love. We can trust him. May we learn to let go and receive the hundredfold he promises. Amen.